being around Def Jam, y'all have been around the biggest of the big in the industry. Have you guys ever seen any weird, crazy shit go on? Any type of ritualistic shit? Wow.
Oh, man. Yeah, we
not to get too crazy about crazy, but like I said, I ain't seeking to go over there. Every little nigga out here I see run around and want to be a part of the industry, I just tell them, man, good luck, boy. Good luck. Every little girl that want to run around here and be a model and be all the good luck. You know what I mean? Because you're going to have to walk through them doors. Some doors I ain't wanting to walk through, dude. I'm not giving my soul up, and I'm not giving my whole up. I'm good. You know what I mean? You be one of the niggas out here liking it. After a while, at first you ain't want to deal with it, but now you liking it.
Oh, Russell Simmons thing?
Yeah.
First of all, me and Russell don't talk like that. Why are you emailing me? You see, this is the thing. Everybody want to be, now you my buddy? Now you my friend? But see, this is what y'all don't know. A lot of people don't know. Russell hangs with them guys. Russell hangs with Adam Bennett. Russell hangs with Brett Ratner. I know what the whole thing is. You ain't gaslighting me. I'm from Flint, Michigan. All these cats, man, oh, well, you didn't mean it. I didn't mean it like that. No, nigga, I know exactly what you meant. And you calling me, talking about give this brother a pass, nobody gets a pass. Right. Nobody. And I'm like, why are you even emailing me? We don't hang out together. We don't do nothing together. I don't know what you're talking about, man. And so, but the fact is, and I saw it for what it was. And believe me, when it first came out, I ignored it. When he emailed me at first, I ignored it. And then all of a sudden, he's like, I got zero tolerance for this thing. I'm like, wait a minute. You say you got zero tolerance, but you told me to get a dude a pass when the dude did it to me. And I said, that's because abusers protect abusers. This culture protects it. They protect each other like that. And I'm like, I have no tolerance for it. Because this is the thing. The thing that you serve is also the thing you got to eat.
Mm.
That's the real deal. And you, if you serving it, you one day it's going to come back to you. Listen, again, the arguments are ridiculous. That stuff is ridiculous. I'm just dealing with the facts as they lay. You cannot do this to anybody else. Anybody. No one. And the problem is, and this is the thing, if you don't protect the women, it's happening to you. They're coming after you. I'm trying to tell you, I was standing there and I'm going, wait a minute. It's got to the point where they tricked everybody into thinking it's part of the job. You're like, no, it's not. You ain't got, hey man, this part about being in Hollywood, come here. No, it ain't. No, it ain't.
Rick ain't normal, I don't give a fuck. I know our producers have their idiosyncrasies, meaning, you know, quirks or some weird shit, but he's just strange by strange standards.
He's the first thing I. I know, but like they electrocute them on the ones that they're gonna use for their fur. Hey, sorry, I've gone on to the uncomfortable topic. I was just saying that we're animal lovers, and Beyonce is so gorgeous and so talented that she really doesn't need to be like promoting fur for people to like the way she looks and you know what she does. So.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So, like, we're not promoting, you know, cruelty to animals at all. Beyonce doesn't, you know, promote for it. Yes, she may wear it. So do I. So does a lot of people in the world. You know what I mean?
But isn't it in your clothing line?
Definitely.
It's just a very short.
This year, I want 10 number one singles.
10? If you don't freestyle.
Peace, y'all. Peace. So, in this video, I'm going to be talking about the record label Def Jam Records. Now, this record label means a lot to me because a lot of high-ranking artists that are some of my favorite rappers have came from this label. Alright, and Def Jam definitely did, you know, change the game and the narrative of how hip-hop was going. Alright, so I'm going to break down a few things. I'm not going to do a whole history lesson, but I did find some interesting things that I noticed about this label here. Alright, so Def Jam was founded in 1983 by Rick Rubin in his dormitory at New York University, all right? Now, how Rick Rubin came up with the idea to create this label, I don't know. I'm not really sure, all right, because it's not really too much history on that aspect. But I do know that it started off as a punk rock label, all right? So it wasn't really based off of hip-hop. This was before Russell Simmons actually got involved with Def Jam, all right? And Rick Rubin had a group by the name of Hoes, all right? Now, Hoes was also a punk rock group, but they wasn't that good, you know what I'm saying? They really didn't go nowhere, so they basically got dropped later on down the line. But then after this situation took place, Russell Simmons was actually introduced to Rick Rubin, all right, during this time. Now, there's different stories of how these two met. But there was somebody that put them together. Now, Russell Simmons was actually running hip-hop. He was a hip-hop promoter back in the early 80s, all right, with Run DMC. So he had his hand in getting people signed like Orange Juice Jones, T-La Rock, and all of these dudes. He was getting them deals in New York. All right, now, at this time, Russell Simmons was a party dude. He was always out in the clubs and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? Like, so he was rubbing shoulders with a lot of these dudes, the drug dealers in the neighborhoods. Everybody knew Russell from him promoting the hip hop. All right. Now Russell, I believe, saw that Def Jam was like in a blunder because Rick Rubin knew music, but he didn't know hip hop. You get what I'm saying? He didn't know the direction that hip hop was going. And around the early 80s, hip-hop was actually becoming more popular in the urban community. So this is where he kind of derived Rick Rubin to get involved with signing the Beastie Boys and LL Cool J and things of that nature, right? They started to get more hip-hop, all right? So they scratched the punk rock situation and went strictly on to hip-hop, all right? Now, when Russell had success with Run DMC over at Profile Records, I believe that he wanted ownership, which is where him and Rick Rubin went 50-50, you know what I'm saying, and split Def Jam down the middle. A lot of people were unaware that Russell Simmons was business partners with Rick Rubin, all right? Leo Cohen didn't come to like later on down the line. So, and mind you, Rick Rubin is also Jewish too. So, you know, this was a plug for Russell in that area. Now, I want to point this out, though. Very important. We look at how hip-hop is structured today with a lot of this Satanism. Russell Simmons was basically, and Rick Rubin was basically a part of that agenda. All right? Before they came into play with all of the hip-hop and rap mixed together, the rock and rap mixed together, it was basically, you know, telling the message. You had Grandmaster Flash, you had the Furious Five, all of these dudes, Houdini. They wasn't really promoting Satanism like that. You know what I'm saying? The Fresh Prince, all of these dudes, they wasn't promoting Satanism and rap like that. It wasn't until Def Jam came along and they started to push the horrorcore, you know what I'm saying, to the general masses. Now, we all know the song Walk This Way by Run DMC. Which is a mixture of rock and roll and hip-hop, right? But what this did was target a specific demographic because heavy metal at the time was heavily praised with Satanism, all right? So when you got hip-hop that's speaking to a certain demographic, all right, then you got Rick Rubin, who is a big fan of Slayer that, you know, are well-known Satanists, all right? Like, a lot of this stuff, you know, causes confusion. So now you had hip-hop infiltrated by Satanism through Rick Rubin, right? So now they signed groups like Onyx. You know, they tried them with the black skinheads and all of that stuff. They tried it with the Flatliners. You had so many groups out there that were actually being promoted through Def Jam with the use of Satanism, all right? And now, I'm going to just say this. A lot of this stuff was, you know, predestined. It was planned before time. But when Leo Cohen actually got introduced to Rick Rubin and Russell Simmons, That's when they really started pushing the Satanism in hip hop heavy. All right, they signed dudes like DMX.
But I slid. I'ma pay one day, just not right now. There is a price to pay. How many lives will it cost?
Come on.
Since I run with the devil, I'm one with the devil.
Redman with his verse on 4-3-2-1.
Turn a Christian to a certified sinner.
A lot of the music became more negative around this time. All right, a lot of it became more negative. You know, so now if we look at rap today, we can understand why these kids are into this stuff, right? Because, you know, the rock and roll with the hip hop is mixed. It's like the emo rap, all of these rappers today, you know, they swear up and down they're rock stars. You know what I'm saying? So, now I want to point out something that I found to be very interesting about this record label, right? And it's this clip by Irv Gotti. Alright, now I want y'all to pay attention to what Irv Gotti says in this clip about the meeting he had with Leo Combs while working at Def Jam.
And he was screaming and hollering, and he said some wild shit.
Who said it? Leo?
He said it's his job.
It's his job? To do what?
To keep me at the lowest possible cost. And when he said that, I said, what the fuck you just say to me? So it's your job to jerk me.
All right, so now y'all see that there, right? Now, I want to point this out, right? When you sign to a label and you don't get down with, you know, the stuff that they want you to get down with, then you're not going to go that far. That's why I try to tell people this all the time. Like, you know, you only going to get but so far if you're not participating in certain things. Alright, prime example, Leo Cohen had an interview with Andre Harrell, and he basically explained to him about moving up the ladder.
Tell us how you worked your way up at Rush Def Jam.
Okay, so, first of all, before there was Def Jam, there was Rush, as you know. We were on 26th Street.
So tell us how you worked your way at the management company.
There's not really working your way up. We were both there. The office was these two chairs put together, and Russell never showed up to the office.
No, it was working your way up. I can tell you if you don't remember.
Okay.
I'll tell you what working your way up is.
I'm gonna tell you.
I'm gonna tell you.
Circle jerks, fear, stuff like that, just to, you know, make a difference.
So you see there, right? They have some type of inside joke, all right? And, you know, this is what they do, all right? This is what they do, and this is how things, you know, the business is ran. You know, they gotta be able to trust you in order for them to do business with you. Now, I also want to say this too, right? Which is kind of ironic to me, but I'm just going to point this out. The fact that Rick Rubin and Leo Cohen actually still have part ownership of Def Jam and Russell doesn't, it kind of crossed my mind. I thought about this and I said to myself, I said, was Russell possibly set up? All right, because, you know, when he did that allegation, let's just say allegedly, to a young female, you know, now, mind you, it's not a doubt in my mind that he wasn't on the island with Jeffrey Epstein and all of them guys. You know, Russell was a very rich dude. But when we take a look at that, right, and they said that he had to forfeit all of his businesses, in order to be, you know, scot-free or not indicted on those charges. So he ran and escaped and went to Bali and left all of his businesses behind. I don't know how he's surviving, but he's over there, all right? But it crossed my mind. I said maybe they were setting him up to get, you know, because it's a dirty game, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, Def Jam is well over worth $1 billion right now. You know, when I worked at that place, you know, every day was like a party, man. You know what I'm saying? It was like a party every day, all right? So they worth a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? They work for a lot of money, but I was wondering if they basically did that to get Russell out the way. All right, just crossed my mind. You know what I'm saying? So, with that being said, y'all, I hope I touched on this video enough for y'all. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't really much to discuss about Def Jam besides the fact that they are basically responsible for bringing Satanism in hip-hop. All right, if we want to take a look at how hip-hop is structured today and the influence it has on children, a lot of this stuff was transferred through people like Rick Rubin and Leo Cohen, and, you know, they had Russell out there handpicking these rappers, you know, so they used them, you know what I'm saying? They didn't have the swagger to go out there and, you know, find the talent themselves, so they used Russell, you know, and got rid of him, you know? Sad business, but it's the way it is. All right, so I'm going to do some more requests. A lot of y'all hit me up in Patreon and asked me to do some requests, so I definitely do that for y'all. All right, peace, and have a blessed weekend. Well, first thing I want to point out, right, is the love is patient, love is kind. Now, if you read the Bible before, you know this is a Bible verse right here, right? This is 1 Corinthians 13, where it says love is patient, all right, love is kind. But they perverted it. All right, they perverted that scripture basically by saying screw love and promoted sex, okay? Because as you can see here at the bottom of the screen is an ice pop, right? And they holding it in the manner which says lick it, all right? That's perverted. So they perverted the scripture right there. Then you can see the mouth is in the direction, you know, open wide as a representation of the phallus and all of this stuff. All right, this is sick business right here. This is sick business right here. Then at the bottom, under the word lick it, okay, is a cup which represents the blood, okay? Now, all right, I'm going to point this out, right, if you guys could see it. But the clock that's at top, right, is directed to 129, all right? Now, 129 is actually an occultic number. All right, because the cults use this word, use this number to reference blood, all right, blood spill. So now, if we look up the 129, it connects to the blood of Christ, right? So which is why you will see this cup at the bottom of it, all right, with some type of red substance to mock the blood of Christ, all right? These people are sick. They know what they're doing. Then you got the demons, Cupid up there in the corner in the clouds. These people are nasty, man. All of this stuff is symbolic, and people are just, you know, getting involved in this mess. I don't understand. Now, here,